TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
Hello, hello, everyone. Good morning. This is Talk Line. It's 10 a.m. I'm Diane McGachran. You're whomever you are. And this is the show for the YK Delta region and beyond to call in with comments and, announcements and whatever you want, whatever you have on your mind. You can also email us. I'm going to go to John Nick from Bethel. Good morning, John.
Morning, Diane. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, good. I took my first boat ride yesterday. We went up silver fishing.
Your first ride?
Yeah, first boat ride of the season. Usually when I go Yukon, that's my first ride.
Oh, wow.
It was fun to ride.
How was it?
You know, there, that big cliff on the river there, that big hill?
I don't know.
Anyway, as you go up river, you know, there's only one hill there on the river.
Uh-huh.
As you're going up creek and stuff like that, left side. I caution people to stay away from there. It's caving in really a lot. It's eating away, and there's a lot of erosion is starting to set in. And there's big tons of mud that are cliff are overhanging. So be careful when you're on that area. Don't be too close gawking around, because some of them, when they fall down, they make a big wake. And they're so heavy, you know, with permafrost and all that. And it's really dangerous to be on, even when you're drifting, you know, cautious for people to ride that area, especially at nighttime, too. You know, you've got to stay away from them. Other than that, we had an enjoyable ride there. And silvers were biting few here and there.
Yeah. Were you rod and reeling or net?
Yeah, rod and reeling.
Yeah.
We went to Creasook, there was what you call floaters going up. You can see their fins, but they weren't very hungry.
Uh-huh.
They were journeying up the three-step probably. Anyway, we had fun. It was my first ride, and it was a good one.
Yeah.
So, anybody ever hear from that covert relief program that Gillis and Owen Sea got? I never hear no people talking out of them.
I have not, but I think that KYUK has done some news stories. You might, well, I don't know, do you have internet or do you scroll through?
No, okay. I was wondering why we kept in the dark.
Uh-huh.
All them, it's, what, a month and a half of a month now?
Yeah.
And a lot of other people are talking about their care package and how they're being spent, yet they're not disclosing nothing to us. It don't even exist.
Yeah.
We're poor corporation. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, John.
Everyone, please wear your life jacket, and please don't drink and drive. Be careful when you're driving the rivers, especially in the sloughs. Don't be speeding around on blind corners. They're dangerous. You can have a big accident like that tragic one we had not too long ago. Just be careful. Use your common sense. And be aware. Be safe. Thank you.
All right, thanks, John, so much for calling. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller is Dr. Al Gross. Good morning, Dr. Gross. Are you on?
Yeah, good morning.
Oh, good.
Really nice to be on your show. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I'm glad you made it on because it's a little bit hard to get in, but you're the second caller, so welcome.
Well, yeah, that was really interesting listening about the erosion of the banks with the permafrost part of that.
Right.
That must create quite a wake, like he's saying. So it's good to hear the silvers are running, and I'm happy to hear that. And
yeah.
I just wanted to call in and say hi, and I think you know that we won the primary on Tuesday
mm-hmm.
with 85% of the Democratic and independent vote, and I really appreciate everybody turning out. It sounds like it was really good effort to get to the polls and for absentee ballots, and really looking forward to having a big presence in the villages. We're working really hard to do that now, to establish a campaign presence all over the place. And We've got a Facebook page now for YK, YK for Dr. Al Gross. So if you haven't seen that already, please check it out and like the page if you do. And I, again, I'm sorry I can't come out there because of COVID.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to check in and let you know we're thinking about, you know, rural Alaska. It's a really important part of me and our campaign. And I'd love to continue to work with you along the way.
Great. Well, for the benefit of our listeners, especially out in different communities, go ahead and just do a little thumbnail on what are you running for? What office? I mean, I know, but I mean, you might want to share, like, you're running for Senate, you're running for state, for government, federal government.
Yeah.
I'm Break it down.
I'm running for the United States Senate here in Alaska against Dan Sullivan, and I'm a lifelong Alaskan with very deep connections to the state through my family and my background. My dad was Jay Hammond's Attorney General and helped create the permanent fund and the dividend. And over the last 5 or 6 years, Alaska has really had a economic failure, and there's not a lot of opportunities here in the state. People are leaving the state, and that's not the Alaska that I grew up with. And I really want to find a way to bring opportunity and jobs back to the state for Alaskans and people in rural Alaska. And I think that there's so many opportunities to do that. We can expand broadband into rural Alaska. And with COVID-19, we've seen so many jobs go remote and virtual that why can't those be in remote villages? They can be. And, you know, we need to lower energy costs in rural Alaska. That will help promote economic development. I'm a strong proponent of clean energy, clean renewable energy, and there's a lot of opportunities that aren't being taken advantage of at this point that I would work really hard to promote.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, healthcare costs in Alaska are triple the national average, and there are ways that as a doctor I can work towards bringing those down, and that'll help promote growth of other businesses in the state. Probably more likely to be in urban, but not necessarily. Also in rural Alaska, you know, businesses like technology and finance and information could come to Alaska if the overhead was or the barriers of entry were a lot lower. So I'm stepping up to run because I really care a lot about the future of Alaska and Alaskans, and I think I'll do a better job in the United States Senate for Alaska than Dan Sullivan.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. This is probably about the time amount that you can have, for right now. I do encourage people can go to your website, dralgross.com, and they can see you have a platform regarding Alaska Natives and some of the rights that you would like to protect that they have, and then, and maybe even expand like subsistence rights on non-federal lands, right?
Yes, yeah, please go to our website, dralgrossak.com, and then again, check out our Facebook page at YK for Dr. Al Gross. And,
yeah.
And if there's any questions about our platform, please reach out to our campaign, and we'd be happy to address them.
Thank you so much. Well, glad you called, and thank you for getting on our show, and feel free to call in again. You're going to be busy for the next couple months.
I'm glad to hear the Silvers are running. That's great. So
yeah,
have a great day, and we'll speak with you later. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Okay, that was Dr. Al Gross. And before him was John Nick, our traditional first caller. And you can call us at 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954. 8954. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org, and your email and calls can be anonymous. I'll read your email over the air. And we have Tom from Chulista. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Diane. How are you doing?
Good so far. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Good to hear you back in the studio, and thanks to Nikolai for covering while you're out.
Yes, he didn't. That was really nice of him. I appreciate that.
That was, especially doing it remotely to help maintain safety.
Very challenging.
very much so. So I just want to give a couple updates from Chulista.
Okay.
First, I heard the question again about the CARES Act funding, specifically the tribal relief funding. So again, no changes. The only organizations that have received the tribal relief funding are the tribes. So the funding that has been so far designated for AMCs, Alaska Native Corporations, those have not been distributed yet. So there are no AMCs that have received the tribal relief funding yet. So that's still pending in the courts. And I think, if I remember correctly, it's sometime in September when the judge said that they would issue their next ruling on that.
Okay.
So just a little update there. And excuse me. And the other update that Trista wanted to share was a big thank you, big Kriana Chuknuk, to all of our interns this year. You know, unfortunately, with the pandemic, we really had to scale back the opportunities for our interns. There were a number of interns that declined the internship opportunity this year, for their personal safety, which we completely support. But we did have a number of interns this year, both at working for our headquarters, out of our Bethel office. The intern in our Bethel office, Alice, she actually worked remotely. And I forget, she was either in the Pakiak or Nebuskiak. She worked remotely from there. We had interns in the lower 48 as well. So a big thank you to all of them. I hope that their continues in college continue to go well and, more importantly, safely with their studies. So a big thank you to all of the interns, Kriana.
Mm. Thank you.
You bet. And the final update I wanted to give, I saw KYUK did a post on it yesterday on their website and mentioned it this morning in the news. The next enrollment deadline is the end of the month, August 31st. So you head to enroll.chalista.com. Enroll.mychalista.com. And you can get information there. You can enroll online. There's a link to download forms, or you can email us enroll@chalistacorp.com. So send your email to enroll@chalistacorp.com, and would be happy to answer questions or send an application that way.
Okay. Very good.
All right. And those were the updates. Kriana, continue to stay safe out there, please.
Thank you. You too. Have a great day.
Bye, Birgit. All right. Bye.
Cool. All right. We have a quick... Oh, Susan Taylor. Okay, I'll do Susan Taylor, and then I'll read an email. Hello, Susan. Welcome to Talkline.
Hi. Yeah, one of your callers asked if the, what programs are out there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand, you know, that some people that are renting might face eviction, and some people with utilities might face cutoffs. And there is a program for that that's funded through the COVID-19, one of the grants. And TWC is administrating that. They are administrating that. They have a website, tundrapeace.org, or people call them 543-3444 and ask for the housing person. And they're helping anybody in those situations, not just, you know, the people in the shelter. They're people that are in dangerous situations of abuse. It's a program they're administering out that they generally do, but now they have extra grants to do this and have it not run out as early as it usually does each year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that is out there for any listener that knows somebody that's facing eviction or cutoffs, that this is there for them thanks to one of the COVID relief grants. And the other thing is I've been doing produce giveaways, produce dairy giveaways, and we didn't get that much last week, which was just as well because of the road traffic. It was just really bad.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, but this week we're getting an epic amount.
Oh.
And I think it might even last to catch the people that get off work at 4:30 or whatever. We'll just look over there, and if there's still boxes, we're still giving them out. And we're getting an epic amount this week, and I think especially the dairy boxes, and that has milk in it. Tillamook cheese and butter. It has good stuff. So, and I am looking at ways of extending this when this program runs out. So just keep an ear out on Talkline or getting the word out. But I understood this would end in September, but we got some other ideas in the burner that I'm kicking around with people. So there may be something with local produce or something. We're gonna not. It's a good thing, and why end it if we can think of ways to keep things going? Because a lot of people really appreciate that help.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow, from 11 till 1, behind the Lions Club, social distancing, masks, and all that, we're doing a donation drive. Because we can't go door to door. You know, back in the day, you'd have the Boy Scouts go door to door and really collect a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that this time. So we still want to get their food pantry plenished, because that's the hardship food we give out in the middle of between food banks and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because there's people that call any time that might be in a hardship situation or know someone that is. And that's the food that we don't have to do the paperwork and all that for. And we do get good stuff when they do food drives. We just can't do them the way we used to do them. So come on by the Lions Club from 11 till 1 tomorrow. And at 10, I'm setting up a funky little photo booth, selfie photo booth, the theme of Bethel Staycation Destination Summer 2020. But if anyone has any other ideas, they can come and set up a photo booth or something, have some fun with this and that. That's part. We'll start that at 10, just anybody that wants to set up.
So, Susan, are you saying tomorrow people can leave donations, you mean?
Yeah,
like
food drive.
Canned goods.
Canned goods, dry goods, hygiene items. Maybe you bought crunchy peanut butter when you meant to buy creamy. Maybe your kid's favorite cereal is no longer Cocoa Puffs and won't touch it.
Okay,
yeah,
I gotcha.
You just never know. Maybe you're moving and you want to get rid of all the stuff that you
has not expired.
Well, not expired, you know, stuff that you need yourself,
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then I wanted to bring out a concern. I hope my 3 minutes aren't up. This is a little bit of a long story. Last weekend, when there was this fear about, we're going to have a spike of cases, which we did,
mm-hmm.
and they opened up Thursday also for testing, and thank goodness they did.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this fear. And I got to looking at the statistics, and I said, wait a minute. How come all this time Dillingham only has 2 cases? How can that be when they have bars, they have an explosive summer population
mm-hmm.
with people that come in, not just fish processors, people that have their boats there and go fishing, the commercial fishermen. It has an explosive population. It has all this traffic, and I know they have a hard drug problem and all that. It has the explosive ingredients is for.
Okay, go ahead.
So what happened is I looked at the testing then. This area has done, this is of last week, did more than 13,000 COVID tests. 13,000 of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the Dillingham area did 1,700, less than 1,800. Way mm-hmm. smaller amount of testing, way smaller amount. So that told me, they're just doing this no news is good news. And I was kind of disappointed because I would think they would do the aggressive testing because of the deplorable history of what they went through with the Spanish flu, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bristol Bay was just totally wiped out, and the history there is so vivid and still discussed to this day. And I just didn't understand why they lacked the testing. So then a couple days ago on the news I hear, we have some cases in Dillingham, and the people that are positive didn't travel. They didn't go anywhere. They were always there. So now they're in a communal situation. So what I'm leading up to is we have flights from Dillingham to Bethel. We have flights that come in
mm-hmm.
between the rural airlines, I think just about maybe 4 or 5 flights a week. I don't know. We have flights coming in from Dillingham. And maybe those need to be tested also, because if they're in a situation of now having communal,
mm-hmm.
and I hope they pick up on their tests. I was hoping that was a typo I read, but
yeah.
It was just like they're hardly testing people where we're testing a lot, and it takes the test for the truth to come out.
Yeah.
You've got to do all that testing. That's our safety and security to do all that testing, because you got to know the truth of what's going on.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that was happening in Dillingham, or if I was reading a typo, but now when I see on the news that they have cases of people that didn't go anywhere,
mm-hmm.
it is in their community. So
they have community spread.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're worse off than we are, but they don't know it because they're not testing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're testing now, but that's too little too late. And maybe on our end of things, maybe those people that come in from over there need to make sure they test themselves, or maybe a testing at the airport. I don't know. We don't want to max those guys out. And I do think Anchorage, the people that come in, really need to get tested. And the city attorney needs to make that mandatory.
Yes.
She's got her interpretation, but the thing is she's representing the best interests of this area. And maybe because she doesn't live out here,
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, I'd say make it mandatory. And then if somebody says they're going to sue us, then you're a lawyer. Defend us.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or,
well, I mean, Dunleavy can also send a memo to his attorney general giving protection to second-class cities to do increased mandates. A simple memo. So there is a way to do it.
I thought he told the communities they can make a stand on stuff like this.
At the State of Alaska webpage, it says that off-road rural communities can have stronger mandates. Yes.
There you go.
But
maybe somehow. Yeah, I don't know why a lawyer doesn't want to represent us and doesn't want to defend us and doesn't want to have our best interest in this, you know. I'm arguing with city council members on this, and I feel bad about that because mm-hmm. I think our city council has a good lineup. For a long time,
we're probably going to have to wrap up soon,
right.
Susan. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my concern is
okay.
Dillingham is our neighbor,
uh-huh.
and we gotta be concerned on that end of things. And all right, anyway, food produce giveaway today is going to be epic.
It starts at 4, right?
Well, we're going to try to start at 4, but they're going to start unloading. Usually at 3, they're going to start unloading at 1 because there's so much.
Well, it sounds, because I think people think it starts at 4, but some people have been getting it earlier than that. So
we had to do that because of the traffic and
yeah.
the line was already there.
Right.
But I think we're going to have more people and less situation of it running out.
Yeah,
we're
going
to have a better week this week than usual with this.
All awesome.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right, we're going to go right to Bev Hoffman from Bethel. Good morning, Bev.
Hi, good morning. It's been a while since I called. And thanks to Susan for all of the good things that she's involved with. But
mm-hmm.
I there were so many things. Our city manager resigning.
Yeah.
Then Tom Leonard called and got me thinking about Donlin again. And then our COVID pandemic and our second class city status. And it's like, okay, where do I start? Tom actually prompted me to call first. I had an op-ed on Donlin in the Anchorage Daily News. As is Chillis to shareholder, a year ago, in 2019, over 300 women signed a letter saying, look, you know, put it to the vote of shareholders. Do we really need and want, do the shareholders support this? And they ignored the letter. They've ignored my emails. They've ignored the op-ed. And I think they think that maybe if they continue to ignore it, we'll just, you know, let it happen. So that is my concern. To Chillis to shareholders, please, you know, demand of our corporation, our for-profit corporation, where the CEO made $700,000 last year in bonuses and salary. Why are you not letting the shareholders in on this decision? That's the first thing I want to get out. And the next thing has a lot to do with COVID. And I just really want to see that mandate that everybody has to mask up. State troopers, Bethel police, every community member, everybody. I want to see rapid testing more readily available so that people can get the rapid test and the long-term test because people aren't quarantining, and it's going to get worse. And the second class city status is just ridiculous. And Diane, when we see and hear what's going on at the Bethel Airport, shoulder to shoulder at Alaska Airlines, we can't. This and people not—they're coming in, not testing, and it's going to be a major, major problem as we move forward. We have to mandate that everyone that comes into this community has a negative test document showing that.
Yes.
That's the way we get a handle on this.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that our CEO of YK, Dan Winkleman, is saying we need this.
Mm-hmm.
And for leaders to ignore it, I'm asking everyone, you know, contact, well, now I don't know who is going to be acting city manager. Do you?
Not yet.
If it's Bill Howell or whomever it is,
mm-hmm.
We all have to take personal responsibility. And if you have tested positive, quarantine. Everyone should have masks. It just bothers me. When I go to the post office, and I see I had to ask a state trooper, why are you not wearing a mask? I'm just curious. And he goes, well, it's that gray area. We're not supposed to be in masks if we're in uniform. And I really tried to find out, really? Is that real?
I've seen some police officers with masks in uniform in their car.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure about it. But maybe troopers have a different policy?
No, they're state troopers. We all have to be responsible and not this macho answer to me about a gray area. So I'm not sure how to deal with the airport, but I'm hoping Alaska Airlines people are listening. And somebody has to be out there enforcing this situation, and it shouldn't be you and me, Diane.
Oh, gosh, no.
But if we have to do it, let's do it. No, we have community spread. We need rapid testing. We need mandates for travelers coming in. There's just a lot of things going on. And I'll end up by saying, stay safe, folks. Pick berries. Practice social distancing, get your silvers up. I have hope when I watch the Democratic convention and the speeches by Biden and Harris and a lot of good people. I have hope on the horizon. I'm concerned about our community response to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to do more. And I'm asking Chalista shareholders, let Chalista know that Donlin is not a good fit for our Kuskokwim River and its salmon spawning tributaries. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Bev. I'm glad you called
bye.
In. All right, bye. So, everyone, it's time to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to be... we're going to take this break. It's a good time to wash your hands and to be mindful of ways that you and your family and your community can keep people safe during this time of a pandemic.
The YK Fitness Center would like to remind everyone of the importance of exercise during this pandemic. Exercise can boost your immune system, which fights off infectious diseases such as COVID-19. Exercise also helps to combat chronic health conditions like diabetes, reduce stress and anxiety, and improve the quality of your sleep. For more ways to stay healthy and safe, please visit www.ykfitness.org. This message sponsored by the YK Fitness Center.
If you're an older adult or have a serious chronic medical condition, make sure to put distance between yourself and others to help reduce your risk of being exposed to COVID-19. Stay home as much as possible. Have enough household items and groceries on hand. Monitor your health and stay in touch with your doctor. And here's some advice for everyone. Check in on your friends and neighbors. We're all in this together. Learn more about how to prevent the spread of COVID-19 at coronavirus.alaska.gov.
Kuihpim kuskuk fim su awati ni tingun yu nakstaman ami rairvik kulun ritarmun. Tanlan kol taktsalis hut kluki kuihpim kuskuk fim su awati ni kingun lgut auk tiku tiki takkank electronic waste tank ukun knunanak. Sleet Mute, Red Devil, Stony River, Anyakak, Crooked Creek, Guigilnuk, Gangirinak, Guinhak, Eek, Akkerk, Napaskerk, Mamdrilram, Klu. Ilagout, Sleet Malichtaku, Takkawut, COVID-19, Nam, Sachtenritsch, Ganun, Biskutnun. Nasun Ritabsari, Covid, Ranschut, Giununafzni, Aike, Bachpzni, Zalilra. Una, Gingunk, Tukwagen, Danlen Gold.
Welcome back with your clean hands. We're going to go to Gisela from the U.S. Forest Fish and Wildlife Service, new refuge employee from South Texas. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Gisela.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. I just transferred from South Texas. I've been in Bethel for about a month, and I'm working as the new visitor services manager for the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. I'm very happy to be here in Bethel.
Wonderful. Oh, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you live up in there. So you're here year-round, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to share a few updates. One in relation to an ongoing project, that is the BIA site project. I just wanted to remind everybody that AHNA Global is conducting a cleanup of the site, and they're demolishing existing structures that contain some hazardous materials like asbestos and lead, among other things. And so this project is still going on, and is expected to last through October 15th. Access to the site is restricted for safety reasons, but anyone requesting access for official purposes will need to contact Nathan Stevens at 907-343-9269 with AHNA Global. And this is the first phase of the cleanup effort that is done in collaboration between Bureau of Indian Affairs and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So if anybody has any more questions or would like to get more information about the project, they can contact me at 543-1004.
31004. Okay, have you gone up there and seen the site?
I have not.
What? It's the new. It's going to be the new wilderness center, hopefully, with hiking trails.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, you have to go check it out.
Yes, I have to check it out. And we are actually. I will be working on the future project to create the walking trails and et cetera. So, but I definitely have to go check it out. I'm still staying clear until the construction, the demolition is done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy to work on that project. I also wanted to share another reminder that our visitor center is still closed in response to the COVID-19 epidemic. And that doesn't mean that we're not available. I, again, wanted to share my contact information for anybody that has any questions or would like to reach somebody from our staff, and I'll be happy to direct you to the right person to speak to. And, again, my number is 543-1004.
Okay, great. And just a couple of impressions you have, having been here a month and you came up from a very faraway place. How has it been adjusting to Bethel, and what's kind of stood out for you?
Oh, my goodness. It's been incredible. I think that the people in Bethel have been very friendly and welcoming. I've already tasted some of the smoked salmon, which is absolutely delicious, and my kids call it the yummy fish.
Oh, yeah.
We've been blueberry picking, and you know, we've been making a lot of blueberry pancakes. The weather has been wonderful. And, you know, coming from South Texas where it's really, really hot, I come here and the last couple of weeks, maybe 10 days, has been pretty sunny, so I've been loving it. Still bracing for the winter because I'm coming from South Texas, but it's been a wonderful experience, and everybody in my family has been enjoying it.
Oh, so glad. Good to hear that. And you're here in plenty of time to acclimatize to winter, so by the time it hits, you won't even hardly know it. Because it's just going to creep up on you.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
So
I'm hoping.
All right. Well, thank you, Gisela, for calling. Hope to hear from you in the future. And we love to hear the updates on the BIA buildings. They've been there for, as you know, a couple decades. And it's great that something's finally being done about them in a great direction.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yes. And, you've now given me a chore. I have to go to the site and take some pictures, and I'm not sure if maybe that's something that I can share with you to share on your website or anything like that. But, you know, if the public is interested in seeing the transformation, I'd be happy to share more information and pictures as well.
Oh, I think people would, especially people who were teenagers 10 or 15 years ago and they went there to graffiti and hang out and the way that teenagers used to, but they're not going to do that anymore. But you know, then you'd have before and after pictures, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
So I'll try to get you those pictures next week. Thank you so much for allowing me the time.
You're welcome. All right. Take
care. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
All right. We're going to go to Stephen from Neboskiak. Good morning, Stephen.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
First off, maybe the KYUK station manager needs to listen that station identifier is ridiculous every half hour. KYUK is the only 6:40 a.m. in the YK Delta. You know, I'd understand that if there was like 10 stations doing a station identifier every half hour. But I think once an hour is okay.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, I'd like to thank YKH CEO President for, you know, stating what he did, you know, in coming forward that we would not be able to handle if there was outbreak of this COVID-19. Now, there are many other organizations in leadership that haven't said anything yet. That includes the City of Bethel, ONC, AVCP, that need to come forward in support of what Winkelman said, that we need to do more, especially before these people that are coming in from Anchorage just to work, that don't need to be tested. There needs to be a mandate probably from the YK Delta tribes and city governments that they need to come in with a negative test result. And as for, you know, I understand where Bev Hoffman's coming from, 300 women compared to 30,000 plus shareholders. That's 0.1%. And if they're so against Donlin Gold, they need to reach out to the bigger demographic of the shareholders. And, you know, last week I stated many people in our Delta rely on these little devices, these cell phones, and they're loaded with gold. You know, I know from reading the EIS, we can sustainably and environmentally develop the mine. There's a gold mine in Fairbanks, and those lead off to the Yukon River. And they've been doing it for many years. Fish are still returning. I know they're in low numbers. Yukon has been struggling with king salmon, and this year with their chum. When we have a little bit fish returning, we complain. And Yukon people have been, you know, they've been holding it, especially on the king part, not returning because they have some sort of treaty that needs to be met before they're able to fish for king. And they haven't really been able to fish, except for the last how many years, for nearly 20 years for king, subsistently. So, you know, mm-hmm. And as I said last week, if you're really opposed to Donlin Gold, turn off your computer, turn off your cell phones, go old-fashioned. I don't think nobody will be able to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
And if we come together in unity, we'll pull through this COVID-19 stuff. You know, the first condolences to the first death in Nunapituk, and it's not going to be the last COVID-related death in our region. There's going to be more coming. And we're living in the biblical times. If anybody wants to look, they can read Matthew 24. Okay, okay. Thank you for letting me put my 2 cents.
Glad you called, Stephen. Thank you. Okay, funny now. Okay, I have a call from Buck from Bethel. Good morning, Buck.
Good morning. I was going to call on COVID testing, but Bev reminded me the presidential race and the vice presidential race is going hot and heavy. I'd like to hang up posters on the telephone poles, but I don't know who to get a hold of to get them. I'd sure like somebody to call me and tell me where to get Biden, Harris, posters and any state, senator and, Congress, for with this upcoming election too. I'd put hang posters up if they get a hold of me. Democrats only, of course, or maybe an independent. Okay, now on the coronavirus, what they're saying is correct. Alaska Airlines is a madhouse. There's no social distancing. A lot of people have the masks on, but I'm scared to even go in there when the plane's there. It's just a scary place. And even if they say only half get tested, and even if they do only half get tested, it still takes 10 days to get the test results back. I got friends and relatives that never got a test result back, and they're saying, well, that's because it was negative. But how do you know that? For 2 weeks, you're worrying, and gee whiz, what's going on? Am I spreading, or am I going to catch it from her because I'm letting my granddaughter stay at my house before she gets out to the village or comes back and has to wait another day to catch the plane? Or is she bringing coronavirus to the house, and has she already spread it throughout the village?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to have a better testing. I don't know. They said, well, they cost too much money, but they got a whole bunch of coronavirus money that should be used for the test.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as state troopers wearing masks, you know, I like the state troopers. I support the state troopers. I'll do everything I can for them. But isn't the police off motto to protect and serve? Mm. They can protect themselves and they can protect us by wearing the mask. I don't care. You know, we got a Republican governor that's marching to Trump's music, but if somebody just says, just wear the mask, you know, and what are they going to do? They're not going to get sued. They're not going to get fired. They don't have to worry about a gray area. You know, wear the mask and stay safe and keep everybody else safe. But,
Buck, I was going to say one thing. If you wanted to call, there's a number that you can call at YK, and they will give your test result, be it a negative, over the phone to you if you give your birth date and name. And I can give you that number. But at this point, you're right, YK is not calling people if they are negative. So usually you're supposed to find out if you're positive within 3 to 4 days, and then after that you make that assumption. But someone can call 543-6949, and you can give them your name and birth date, and they will look it up.
Say it again, please.
543-6949. That's how I got verification that I had a negative test, because I wanted to know for sure, and I couldn't. And I tried to open a YK Health account, but it wouldn't let me. So, but this number has worked for a number of people to get that verification. Because you're right, it's better to have the verification.
Yeah, you sleep better.
Yeah.
So there's that. So I wish they could mandate that you get tested when you get off Alaska Airlines. Alaska Airlines could say you can't get a ticket unless you get tested, either on that end or this end. Mm-hmm. We're still not going to be able to force them to quarantine, but we could recommend the quarantining, and businesses can say quarantine, mm-hmm. but, you know...
So we'll have to kind of move on here now, Buck. Sorry with the time thing, but.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah,
bye.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to go ahead to Mark Springer from ONC. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning, everybody. Just want to announce again that ONC's applications for our CARES Act Tribal Member Assistance Program are available now. They are on the internet at nativecouncil.org/CARES. The applications are there. They include a set of instructions and some frequently asked questions. We also have hard copies of them available in the office, out in the porch, for folks to pick up and complete. And we are going to be shortly mailing them out to every tribal member who's over 18. So if you get one in the mail and you've already done an application, you're fine. But we have members all over the state and all over the lower 48 that we want to get the applications out to. So we've been getting them. People have been emailing them. They've been coming in fine. People have been dropping them off. So if you are here in Bethel and haven't got an application yet, feel free to come by and pick one up, or download it, or you know, wait to get it in the mail.
And Mark,
can
you say just like a little thumbnail sketch on what can they ask for?
Oh. Well, one thing actually, I'm glad you asked that. One thing we would like to encourage is tribal members who have utility billing issues, whether it's electricity or water, since March. To include that with their application. We have a segment of our funds the council has budgeted for utility assistance. And mm-hmm. we know the city's got a really large arrearage, $600,000 since March. So if you're a tribal member, a tribal household, and you are behind on your water bill since March, or you're behind on your light bill, let us know, and we can take care of that right away for you. We do have some other assistance that we're putting together. There's going to be energy assistance available in a couple of different forms, and one thing we're focusing on is food security. So we're going to be we're going to be providing, and it's not going to happen tomorrow, but we're going to have some vouchers or cards for a couple of the local grocery stores that we're going to be providing to households. So it's going to be you know, pretty substantial altogether. We're bringing on a new staff member on Monday to kind of take over management of of these programs. I think people will be pretty pleased with what we're able to provide. And also, the council said, you know, in the resolution that set the programs up, that we're going to provide assistance to our tribal members no matter where they live. If they live in Cincinnati, or if they live in Anchorage, or they live in Nome, or they live in, a tundra village, we're going to be providing assistance to them as well. We have 3,200 tribal members, and that's the number that we use, about 3,200. That's the number we used when we made our application for the CARES funding. So the funding we received is there to provide assistance to all of our tribal members, regardless of where they're living.
Okay. All right.
And if anybody has any questions,
terrific.
You can call the office here, 543-2680. Please pick up the application if you haven't, download it, and get it back to us. We're going to be going through the applications about once a week. We'll have a team here that's going through them about once a week and setting up the, the benefits on a per household basis based on those applications. So, but again, let me just reiterate: if you're here in Bethel and you've got you're behind in your water bill since March, or you've got AVEC issues, let us know about that with your application.
Okay.
So, thank you very much.
Terrific, Mark. That's really great help.
You bet. Okay,
all right. Bye. We'll go to Harry from Bethel. Good morning, Harry.
Hello. Good morning.
Thank you for waiting. What do you got on your mind?
You know, I had to call in. Once I heard Stephen, Lexi from the Puskik, if he's still working for Toysta, he should have said that he's a Toysta employee. I'm not a pro-mine individual. Many of the locals here that live off the Kuskokwim subsistence ways, fishing and hunting off the river, we're not in favor of the mine operating. Worst case scenario, if there's any big spill or an accident, or if the tailing happens to go on the Kuskokwim, it's going to affect our livelihood of subsistence living, and the fish on the river has been sustaining our way of life since before written time, and that's what we like to keep on or continue on doing. So right now we have no shortages of gold for the phones or equipment that we use. And he's making it sound like we need this mine in order to sustain these. Well, there's no shortage of it.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done somewhere else, not in a place where subsistence is the main source of living here in this area. He said, if you're anti-mine, get rid of your phones. If you're pro-mine, might as well get rid of your nets. Stop living. I've said this before, I think years ago. If you're pro-mine, might as well stop fishing and try to live the life of not getting fish off of the Cusco Creek. There's the stores. Stores have beef and chicken. That's where they can go get their food from. But for me, I like to have a fresh taste of salmon when they arrive and while they're here.
Okay.
Might as well. Those guys that are pro-mine might as well stop eating dry fish, half-dried salmon, fresh salmon. It's you know, I got riled up listening to him. You know, if I'm sure he'd have a different outlook on it if he wasn't a paid employee by Chalista, but sadly he is. But for me, I'm looking at the subsistence lifestyle that our region members have. You know, we can't always go up to the store and buy these $30-$40 steaks every day. We just can get a 6 gallon of gas and head on to the Costco camp to get a fresh salmon.
Yeah.
Easily. And I don't want that to change. I have to bring this up.
Okay, thank you, Harry. And I really appreciate you did such a respectful way of disagreeing with someone, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, it sounds like, I think, I'm listening for the magic break sound. There is that break sound that might be a little annoying to some people, but it's a good hand-washing time. And you're listening to 640 AM Talkline, and we'll see you on the other side of the break, or hear from you.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or Board of Directors.
Coming soon to the YK Delta, August 24th to September 9th, Dawn and Gold, in partnership with entities from the YK region, will be collecting electronic waste for disposal from Sleepmute, Red Devil, Stony River, Aniak, Crooked Creek, Guigilnuk, Gangiqnuk, Gwinechak, Ik, Akiak, Napakiak, and Bethel. Participants are required to follow COVID-19 safety measures. More details available by contacting your tribal IGAP office. This message is sponsored by Don and Gold.
Imireluden online khwallu ayaghtlugu imiraan gali kiwihkun, fax saakun khwallu e-mailagun. Imirakat gali kiwihkun tutuklih tutun unakumaag kaagut kulni ikanrani tutuklih bailgata. Nasan ritvzaar yukuvit ikaayru yukuvit lu imirilhbni tattait suutkun tutuklih kakhpunun qayaagahu Division of Elections huani 907-270-2700. www.vote.org/absentee-ballot/Alaska. Unakingunungtukwagan, the Association of Village Council Presidents.
Welcome back. We're going to go right to Nerby from Bethel. Good morning, Nerby.
Hi there.
Hey.
I just wanted to say happy Friday to everyone. And I have a question, and this could, we don't have to answer it, but are we waiting for someone to come during the night with a lamp on? And my grandson's bike got stolen from his home, from the porch. And it was found with a missing seat, and he's happy that he's got it back. And the other thing is we have a short season in the summer to subsist of what we like to eat. And going out on the water or on land, we see trash. And it's been mentioned time and time again. Take care of your trash. I know I do. Why leave the water dirty and the land filled with trash? So that's my 2 cents for today.
Well,
be safe, everyone. Wear your mask and have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. I'm going to give a quick shout out to my very favorite, very best neighbor, very good garden helper, and the girl who helps me fill my bird feeders, Naomi. So I think Naomi's listening, and this is Diane saying hi to Naomi. All right, I'm going to go to Stephen from Neboskiak. Good morning, Stephen.
Yeah, returning.
Round two.
Yes. I was mentioned that I was an Chalista employee. I wanted to get the record straight.
Mm-hmm.
Since this pandemic back early March, I was laid off.
Oh.
Even before I took on this job, I was, opposing Donlin Gold because back then we had the means of making money through commercial fishing. Early on, ever since I can remember, commercial fishing. 8 years old, I was making $30 per fishing. And not until my adulthood when I got my own permit. That's when we sustained. We were able to sustain and say, I can provide for additional money for my parents. I remember the first time I went with my uncle and he gave me $300. I gave it to my parents to use from fishing. And, those people who work in Bethel, you guys have the means to buy everything, gas, boat, motor, in a split second. Those of us out in the village, we struggle. I remember when there was 2 weeks, all we ate was fish. Boiled fish, baked fish, dry fish. Every day, 2 weeks. There are other people who get tired of eating fish and they go to conveniently to the store in Bethel and buy steaks, pork chops, chicken. We can't do that in the village. And for Harry Alexis to tell me, no, fishing for life. I grew up when fishing, I was fishing in wooden boats. My great-grandpa was fishing, cutting fish, because nobody will cut fish for him. The late Mr. Kobach, my great-grandpa, stopped by him. Nobody helped him. That's why I pushed forward in helping my wife cut fish. I cut king salmons. I cut red salmons. There's not very many people, men out there, that can do that. All they'll do is fish and lick their ibex. Struggle. Cut fish for hours, especially nowadays. Heavily regulated people of the YK Delta. Oh, we're treated like criminals. when we use five feet over the net, that's too much. They're going to give us tickets and take our nets away. Mm-hmm. $800 nets.
Okay, Stephen.
Yes, the fishing can be, the gold mine can be done sustainably. I was once an opponent of Donlin Gold. That was during their exploration. We haven't had commercial fishing here for nearly 15 years. It's not even viable anymore. And now boat motor costs $7,000 and boat motor costs $10,000.
So, Stephen, my apologies.
Yeah, thank you for taking my
points.
I just got upset when somebody else mentioned my name.
I'm sorry about that.
And say, don't do that.
Okay. I'm glad you called back.
He can go buy his steaks at the store.
Hang on. Okay. Oh, ouch. All right, we're going to go to Adrian from Nunapachuk. Good morning, Adrian.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Sorry.
I was just having a question about the CARES Act that was allocated to the villages. And I was wondering if anybody listening had any information about assistance to village airline agents, because I am currently affected by that, and I tried to ask them if they can assist me, and they said it has to be, I guess, hourly or some kind of base.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to ask around.
When you say help from the CARES Act, do you mean because you've been laid off from your job?
No.
Oh, what kind of help? That'll help somebody.
Agents, when they can't work, they hire a sub, and they use the money that was made, and they pay the person, and the person is actually losing money. And here, every time I hear about village being locked down, the tribe, all its employees are on paid leave, and I just don't think that's fair to these other people.
Okay.
I just wanted clarification about that, to see if anybody would have more knowledge than me.
Okay, thank you. And we'll see if somebody calls in.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to go right to Willie from Quinnahawk. Good morning, Willie.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I think John Nick brought up a real fine conversation starter this morning with bank erosion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here going, where's our state funding at? The cheapest estimate that the federal government could come up with village relocation for Newtalk was $100 million. We have Akyak, Neposkyak, Quinnahawk, all of them fixing to have major problems that some shot rock can cure the problem. They have a mountain full of shot rock up there at Kalskag. They have a mountain full of shot rock they can get out of Platinum, Good News Bay, which is right around the corner from Quinnahawk. And this is where they need to come in. They need to do the same thing they did at the riverbank about 18 years ago in Bethel that saved the fuel farm. Shot rock. Simple, fast, cheapest way ever. That's number one. Number two, our daughter is going to her senior year in Edgecombe this year, leaving today, and there's a pile of young folks that have already left yesterday, maybe even the day before, I'm not sure. But I'm going, how come we're sending 140 kids or more all the way to Sitka? It's over $20,000 funding for each student. We're losing millions every year to send our kids clear down there through two international airports, being Juneau and Anchorage. They're having weather the storm overnight camping, more sticks in their nose for testing than you can shake a stick at. We're sending them away from their culture just so they can get a higher education than they can get on the YK Delta. I want to know, and it's one of my issues, and it was one of the reasons I supported Dunleavy when he ran. He was going, we need to have more regional hub high schools of the caliber of Mount Edgecombe, which is a very good school. It's why people in Bethel are sending their kids to Mount Edgecombe. It's a better education. And it's just one of the issues that I keep bringing up. The next one is, how come we spend a pile of money building buildings that lose money instead of working on lowering the water sewer rates in Bethel? You could eliminate most of your bill for water and sewer by putting a water plant with a building out there that houses one of the old tankers from the fire department right there along with the water truck in Kasaili subdivision. How much time was wasted by city drivers with your construction, putting a brand new highway in, which is fantastic? I think the third time that's been done since I've lived out here. You know, I mean, then you deal with your weight limits on the roads to where the drivers can't even haul full loads out there. The drivers spend two-thirds of their day driving instead of pumping. And that can be eliminated. You eliminate all those costs, then your water sewer rates go down. The other one I've been fighting for over 20 years, and I'm sure just about everybody in Bethel can appreciate the simple fact, you sat an awful long time waiting on construction because there's only one road through town. It needs to be a road through the donut hole that a lot of us old-timers fought for over 20 years ago, still fighting to get it through there. And it's one of the things that lowers your cost of living for everybody. It lowers it when you only have to drive half as far, buy half as much gas. It eliminates the wasted time in your day, the frustration of sitting at Watson's Corner. There's things that need doing out here, and that's why I'm running against Tiffany Zolkowski for this House district out here in November. I'll be on the ballot. I received my certification papers from the state, I forget, 2 days ago or something. I didn't want my name on a primary. No sense. Just go straight to the general.
Okay.
I'm hardcore PFD. These guys we have representing us have stolen, before this year, over $120 million in hard...
And you have like about a minute, then we got to move on, so...
Let's talk for eight.
Tie it up.
Either way, $120 million before this year, stolen from every village out here. That's the poorest place, basically, in the state, in the nation. It makes no sense. Where'd that money go? Did it go into anything that saves you money, that lowers the cost? No. Anyway, I'm on the ballot in November. Think about it. Let's get ourselves back into the game. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Willie, we're going to go to Anonymous from Bethel.
Hello?
You're on the air. Thank you for calling, Anonymous.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I would like to thank that guy that said know how to cut fish.
The guy who what?
That said he know how to cut fish.
Oh, he knows how to cut fish. Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
he said it. We live in a hard life nowadays.
Mm.
But yeah. We're still surviving, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good day. Enjoy.
Okay. Thank you. Glad you called.
Bye.
All right. Bye. I have a quick
Oh, I have a quick email that I'm going to read regarding a petition. If you are a Chelista shareholder and want to vote on Donlin, be sure to go to the No Donlin Gold Facebook page and sign the petition that is at the top of the page. If enough people sign the petition, Chelista will have to have a vote. Let your friends know and your relatives. Make your mom sign. Make your kids sign. Tell your dad to get on Facebook and find that link on the No Donlin Gold page. Make your gram and gramps do it too. Anonymous. All right. We're going to go to Casey Burke from Bethel. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning, everyone. See, I have a quick question for Willie, who from Quinhawk, who, by the way, is an old friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
And so if he's obviously wants to restore the permanent fund,
mm-hmm.
But he's got a bunch of great ideas there for new schools and stuff like that. So the question is that I would have for him is what taxes are he going to would introduce to help fund those new projects, or if he just intends to keep trimming state budget farther than it is. So that would be my question. Anyhow, I will hang up.
Okay, thank you, Willie. Casey, with your comment about Willie's comment. Sorry. All right.
Bye.
Okay, we have another anonymous email. Is it okay for 2020 graduates to get their name signs from the telephone poles? Okay, I think that references the BRHS high schoolers who had really wonderful congratulations signs on all the telephone poles in town. Okay, and this is a anonymous emailer wondering if they could start coming down now. Okay, thank you. All right, I'll go ahead and give out our numbers, 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 1-800-995-8954, and you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. Read your email over the air. You can be anonymous for your calls and your email. And also, I was wanted to point out in the Delta Discovery this week, there's a really wonderful editorial comment on the Speak Your Mind by Alina Aluskuk. Really thoughtful, and I encourage people to go and look at it. And it's just kind of a really thoughtful, got me thinking quite a bit. The story that she tells, a traditional story, and then she applies the meaning of that story to nowadays and how it can be a helpful story for now. Okay, so I'm going to go to I have an email. It's a little bit long, but I guess I'll go to it. Waka, this is the email. Waka Chamai. My name is Cody Ferguson. I am Chupik and Caucasian from Chivac, but I reside in Anchorage these days. My mother is the late Lena Ferguson. My father is Harry Ferguson. I love listening to KYUK, and I especially enjoy tuning into the Talkline show. I'm actually using my break at work to write to you. I really try to do my best to encourage Native people to vote, especially young Native people. The reason why is because if we don't vote, other people will. And if that happens, other demographics in our state and country may make decisions that will affect our community in ways we may not like. I don't like telling people who to vote for because they have minds of their own, but I will tell you that if you are concerned about the current state of affairs in our region, state, and country, then vote the current presidential administration out of office this November. I cannot stress that enough, because if you think things are bad now, things can get a lot worse. Listening to this message as an individual and taking it into consideration is one thing, but actively encouraging people in your own life to vote is another thing. Telling people to vote on KYUK is like preaching to the choir. Pushing and urging people who you know don't vote and explaining why it's important is like the nuns in Sister Act going out into the streets with Whoopi and actually making a difference. Be a Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act and make a difference in regard to getting the vote out there. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks, KYUK. I really enjoy this radio station. Okay. Thank you so much, Cody Ferguson from CHEVAC, living in Anchorage, for writing us. We're going to go to Amanda from Bethel. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. I wanted to thank you all for providing this public forum for people to speak. What I would like to suggest is that I think it's rather inappropriate for people to use it for their political agenda when they're running for office, especially when other people can't necessarily get off work or aren't present to counter their accusations. I just think it's inappropriate, and I think we should keep people who are running for office, I think they should keep their platforms to themselves. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. I was going to kind of check on the weather for us here real quick, because that person's already, Amanda has come and gone. Okay, so for Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta, so today, I mean, if you look out the window, it's pretty clear, cloudy, areas of fog in the morning, been there, done that, highs in the mid-50s to lower 60s with wind at 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers after midnight, patchy fog after midnight. Lows around 50, southwest winds, 15 miles an hour. Saturday, patchy morning fog, scattered rain showers in the morning, then numerous rain showers in the afternoon, high in the mid to upper 50s. So that roasty, toasty couple of days we've had have gone into hibernation for now. Maybe they'll peek out one last time. And we have some Tundra Drums announcements. Application for the ONC CARES Act Assistance Program. We had a caller earlier, Mark Springer, mentioned this. The CARES Act Assistance Program applications are available at the ONC office, and you can also access that application online. And the website is nativecouncil.org/CARES, and they're being mailed, and they are also, the application is also being mailed to each ONC tribal member over the age of 18. So there's three different ways to access it. It should be mailed to you directly, so that you will get an application. Tomorrow, Saturday, August 22nd, there will be a food donation drive. This is with the Lions Club, and due to COVID-19 precautions, this will not be the usual door-to-door method. Instead, drop off food donations at Lions Club from 11 to 1. This is curbside, outdoors, masks, and social distancing. Okay, that's cool. So you can just drive up there in your car, and they will take your donations. We're going to go to Yvonne from Bethel. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Diane, and the good people of the YK Delta.
Good morning.
I don't like being referred to as Bethel people, and there's natives here, and we've been here all our lives, and they also mention our corporations, and somehow we always, what I'm hearing, they're putting the load on us, and it's the 56 villages. We're all in this together, so quit singling us out. That's not right. Even Bethel got a Yupik name, Mumtagatuk. And there's fish out there, and it's open 24/7 now. He could use 50 fathoms, and here they need to run to no store. And it's all up to a person to get that sufficient food in their freezer and hang them up. And what can I say? We're all in this together, and I hate to say this, but from the village quarantine, I still see them in Bethel. And they come to shop or do what they do here, and I think those that wear masks and follow that quarantine and don't come, they still come here. Maybe we need to enforce this law. On COVID-19. And in closing, condolences to that Lenape family, and they're not alone. We're with you in prayers. And it's like that man said, he won't be the only one, but it's a contagious disease, and it's like them healthcare professionals state anybody could get it. And I'd like to say to that family, they're not alone, and they ain't bad people too, and anybody could get it. Okay, good morning.
Okay, good morning. Oh.
Hello.
All right, thank you. Oh, I think another call may have come in. So we just have a few minutes left of the show. We're going to go to Willie K for round two, I think.
All right. Yeah, round two. Hey, Casey, good to hear from you. First off, anybody that promises there will never be taxes, I think is lying to you straight flat out. The only tax I'd ever support would be an income tax, but before we get to the income tax, we're still going to have to do some serious looks at how that state got to a $1.4 billion deficit this new legislature is going to go in and be faced with. The PFD never was the problem. It never became a problem until the state started spending it. By statute, 50% to the people, 50% to the legislature. Then along came Walker. Things changed. That PFD never was part of the equation for balancing the state budget. That's why I'm going 100% with state statute that's in the books.
Okay, we're going to, yeah, thank you.
And one quick one.
Oh, make it.
We've been debating 30 years on KYUK. And Lyman Hoffman used to see if he could be the last one after me. That was over 20 years ago. Let's start selling some advertising time on KYUK.
Okay. That was your quick summary. And that's the show. That was the fast 90 minutes, I'll tell you. Thank you, everyone, for your calls, your emails. Really appreciate it. That's what drives the show, is just the way the community in the region sort of accesses Talkline to express. But also for those that are listening, it's really important to hear from each other. So thank you for that. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend, and we will meet again next Friday.